Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
When we come into union with Christ, what happened to Christ is credited to have happened to us. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also were raised into a newness of life. So he says, now we should walk in the newness of life.
I will no longer die to what he died to. Because he died, I'm no longer in my sins. Because he died, I can never be sick. Because he died, I can never be poor. Because he died, I can never be under a curse. Because he died, I can never be a prey to the fowler. My soul has escaped through his blood.
Step into the world of infinite possibilities as you listen to Pastor David Ifechukwu today.
Now we are moving forward with the series we've been on since last Sunday. And by the grace of God, today will be the conclusion of that series. And we are on the subject, a life well lived. Somebody say, a life well lived. And we are talking about a life of what? Purpose, power, and prosperity. I'm not hearing you. A life of what? Purpose, power, and prosperity. And we have worked on this aspect for two services, that for you to live a fulfilled life, you have to clearly define three things. And there are three major questions you must answer. You must answer the question about your identity. You must answer the question about your purpose. And then you must answer the question about the right timing. Because there is time for every purpose under heaven. Every purpose manifests and evolves in phases and in stages. So God may have a purpose for you. A prophecy may come over your life, but it may not be that it will manifest in that exact time. So you must learn how to discern timing. Somebody tell your neighbor, discern the appropriate time. My prayer for you is that you will never miss your kairos. Amen. Praise the Lord. You will never miss your due seasons in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, for those of us who are in this church for pros, for some of you who may be coming for the first time, this is a specialized service. Church for pros, which means church for professionals. We use that specifically and specially to teach practical principles of God's wisdom and to equip people for a successful life and for a life of excellence, and especially in matters that has to do with our visions, fulfilling our visions, achieving our goals, our work, creating wealth, and whatever that has to do with productivity and success is something that we brought out because it's very important to be instructed. The Bible says that the labor of fools frustrates them. And when the axe is dull, the person who is working will have to exert more strength. But when it is sharpened, he exerts less stress. So the Bible says wisdom is what sharpens it. Wisdom is profitable to direct, and wisdom brings success. So it's very important. For those of us who are in this fourth service, so that's why you see me with a table and with my seat, because it's a different kind of service. So it's much as if we are in a school of wisdom. Tell your neighbor, welcome to the school of wisdom. So last week, Sunday, we worked on living a life of purpose, power, and prosperity, and we used King Hezekiah of Judah as a case study. How many of you remember? Wave your hands. All right, so we read 2 Kings 18 because I'm going to be very fast because of time. We read 2 Kings chapter 18 from verse 1 to 7. And my focus in verse 3, the Bible says in verse 3 that he did what was pleasing. This King Hezekiah did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight. Now, what we are talking about is a life well lived. A life you live pleasing the Lord. You can live your life pleasing people. You can live your life pleasing yourself. But a life of purpose, if you have understanding, you must know that purpose does not exist with the product. Purpose exists in the mind of the manufacturer. Anybody who creates a thing is the person who knows the purpose for which he creates that thing. There is always an intention the manufacturer has before he makes a product. So the purpose does not really exist in the mind of the creation. It exists in the mind of the creator. So for you to know your purpose, you have to seek the face of your creator and let him reveal it to you. Purpose is revealed. Purpose is discovered. You cannot fabricate your own purpose. You can only receive it as it's revealed to you. You can only discover it because it exists in the mind of the creator. And living a life of purpose is living a life to please the Lord, to fulfill that thing for which he created you and I. There is something God created you to fulfill. He created you for a reason. You are here on earth not by mistake. You are here on earth because you are a solution to certain problems. You are here on earth because you are valuable to God. And there is a value he wants you to give to your world. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? That's very important, and you must know that. So this King Hezekiah lived a life pleasing the Lord. He wasn't pleasing himself. He wasn't pleasing other people. He pleased the Lord, and the Bible said, just as his ancestor David did. And, you know, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And then when you get to verse 7, the Bible says, so the Lord was with him. So the Lord was with him. And Hezekiah was successful in everything he did. Now, that's a life of power and prosperity. Can you imagine? I want you to imagine that. That at the age of 90, you're with your great-grandchildren, you're with your children, you're with your grandchildren, you're with people you have impacted their lives. And while you're there, the testimony you're going to bear, not just people saying it of you, but you yourself, you know it, that you are successful in everything. Is it possible for a man to be successful in everything? Yes, that's the life I live. If I'm involved, it prospers. If I'm involved, it works. Nothing dies in my hands. Nothing stagnates in my hands. Everything I do prospers. I'm telling you the truth. That's reality. And I started studying the scriptures concerning this, concerning the blessing of the Lord, which is the Lord is with you, the blessing of the Lord. And concerning this, I started meditating on the scriptures, and everywhere I meditated on, it wasn't that you prospered in some things, it was always you prospered in all things. There is no provision in God's blessing for you to succeed in some things and fail in some things. Please read the Bible for yourself. Everywhere you saw, God was with a man. God was with a man. God blessed a man. What you're going to see is that man prospered in all things. And in 3 John verse 2, the elder John begins to pray for us. He said, I pray for you, and I wish above all things that you prosper, not in some things, in all things. Be in health, even as your soul what? Prosper. Lift your hands and boldly declare it. Say, I prosper in all things. I prosper in all things. I am successful in everything I do. Now, do you know why? Because the blessing doesn't really come upon the things you do. The blessing comes upon you, the man. So if you're doing A, it's not about the A. What makes A prosper is who is doing it. When the blessing is on you, if you change from A and you do B, B begins to prosper. If you change from B and you do C, C begins to prosper. Why? The blessing is not in the A, B, or C. Those are variables, different locations, different professions, different fields, different industries. The one constant thing is the man that is blessed. So when you read the Bible, you study Genesis chapter 39, you're going to see it. And the Bible says that God was with Joseph. He was sold as a slave in Potiphar's house. Potiphar was an official in Pharaoh's court, you know, serving Pharaoh. This guy was sold as a slave, as a teenager at the age of 17. Then he enters the master's house, and the Bible says, and the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him, and he was successful in everything. He prospered in everything. He so prospered that the master noted that since this guy came into his house, God has been blessing everything in his house, both in his home and in the field. So the master did something. He took everything in his hands. Give me that scripture so people can read it. That one you just changed now. Yes, everybody, hold your neighbor and read that scripture to them, Genesis 39, verse 3, and read out loud. One, two, go. Giving him what? In a mouth of two or three, a matter is established. This is a pattern. This is a principle. When the Lord is with you, now, when you are doing it in your own might, in your own power, leaning on your own understanding, trusting your own connection, you can succeed in some things and fail in some things. But when it is the Lord sponsoring your success, there is a God-sourced success, a God-sourced prosperity. You prosper in all things. It was such that Potiphar gave him to be the head over every realm of his house. Whatever he was doing at home and whatever business he had outside the house, this guy was running things. Somebody under the sound of my voice, the evidence of the blessing is going to be so clear, is going to be so radiant that you are going to be the one running things wherever God has planted you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Tell two or three people by your side, by the blessing, we run things. Say, now we they run things. If you receive that, shout your loudest amen. Amen. In his father's house, who was the one that was favored, that was receiving the coat of many colors? Now they thought they were betraying him, sold him another place, another location, different circumstances. He's no longer the beloved child. Now he's a slave. Who is the one that also was favored the most? Who is the one that was made the head of everyone? Now the wife of Potiphar betrays him. They throw him into the prison. Just after a while, who was running the prison? Different location. Your prosperity does not come from Canada, neither does it come from Kano. It does not come from Lome, neither does it come from Lagos. It's not where you are, it's who is there. It's not the profession, it's the professional. There is no industry I get into that I won't win in. If I get into any industry, you will count me among the best. Above only. And you've got to believe that. You've got to meditate on the scriptures. This is not just mere talk. This is not motivational speaking. You've got to get to the scriptures. See what God is saying concerning us. Meditate on these things. Give yourselves wholly to them so your profiting and your progress will be evident to all. Somebody say, I hear. So this is a man that was living a life of purpose. He lived a life, of purpose, of power, and of prosperity in all things. Now, we went forward to begin to ask ourselves certain questions last, and I don't know how many of you, I pray that many of you have taken time. And if you've not done that, please take time. Don't just listen. Go and practice this light. This revelation, practice it. Put it to work. You see, when you put the word of God to work, it works for you. Okay, so we asked a question. What is my life worth to God? What is the worth of your life to God? Now, we know the worth of our life and how, in the eyes of God, we know the sacrifice he made. In the eyes of God, he gave his son, his only begotten son, sent him to Calvary, hung on a tree, became a curse, and the sin and the iniquity of us all, of all mankind, past, present, and future, was laid on him. And the wrath and the judgment of God was poured on him. He died our debt. That's what it cost for us to be saved. This salvation we enjoy. That's the cost of the grace that you and I have. It cost God the debt of himself. Powerful. God became man. Came in flesh and bore our sins. That's how God valued us. You see, when you want to know the worth of a thing, check the price that is paid for it. If you put two items on the table and one person comes and says, how much is this? And you say, this item A is $3,000. Now, he says, how much is this one? He said, this item two, item B is $30,000. It means the one that is priced for $30,000 is more valuable than the one priced at what? Come on, we're businessmen. Is that right? When you check what was given up, you see, what was given up, that what was sacrificed to purchase us. Because that's what redemption is. Redemption means repurchase. God repurchased us back to himself. When you check that, that will tell you what our worth is. Please listen carefully. This is very key. This is very important. Pay attention. Now the question is, do you know your worth? God knows your worth, but do you? Because it is not just what God esteems us to be that matters the most. What matters the most is what we believe is our worth. How significant, how valuable we believe. Because you are not going to behave until you believe. I always say that. You behave how you believe. As a man thinks in his heart, so is it. Whatever is your conviction will form your character. Whatever is your conviction will determine how you act, how you talk, how you relate with others. What is the worth of your life to God? What is the worth of your life? And the truth is, there are many people that God died for. Many people all over the world that have received salvation, received this eternal life, but they don't even know what their life is worth. And still they are living a vague, thoughtless, and careless life. Are you living a life of value and significance? Or are you living a life of carelessness, a life of directionlessness? Are you living a life of recklessness? Just whatever comes to your mind. Some people say, wherever my heart leads, once my heart leads. Some people say, I say, listen, don't follow your heart. Oh. Don't follow your heart. You are overestimating your wisdom. You're overestimating your wisdom. You can destroy yourself. Your heart can lead you to your own destruction. Jesus never told us to follow our heart. He told us to follow the Lord. And he gave us the Holy Spirit. And he says, those who are led by the Spirit. Come on, lift your hand. Say, I am led by the Holy Spirit. As a Christian man, as a Christian woman, you should never be found saying, my heart is leading me. Never. God is greater than our hearts. God is wiser than our hearts. You've got to understand that. If there is any wisdom we have today, it is the wisdom that Christ was made to us. Very important. Some other people say, if he makes you happy, do it. If he makes you happy, no. We were never created to live for ourselves. Never. We were never created to live for ourselves. We were created to live for God. We were never created to live to please ourselves. We were created to live to please the Lord. Everything God created, he created for his pleasure. For his pleasure. God doesn't exist to pleasure us. God doesn't exist to amuse us. We exist to pleasure the hearts of the Father. So what kind of life do you live? Hezekiah here, who was our case study, lived a wonderful life. A faithful life. It happened as we saw last Sunday in Isaiah chapter 38. We read from verse 1 to 6. And my focus will be in verse 2 and 3. The prophet of God came to Hezekiah and said, hey, he was sick. And the prophet of God said, the Lord has called me to tell you that this sickness you won't recover. It will be unto your death. Prepare your house. Put everything in order. You're going to die. And the Bible says when Hezekiah in verse 2 heard this, he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. And he said in verse 3, remember, O Lord, how I have always watched a life well lived. Not sometimes. I have always been faithful to you. Can you imagine that testimony? Always. How I have served you single-mindedly. That means I lived a life of purpose. You created me. You made me a king. And it's for a purpose. I turned the hearts of your people from idolatry to serve the living God. I brought down every idol, every sacred pillar, even the bronze serpent that they were now worshiping, that was raised by Moses, I brought them down and turned that nation's heart to you. I fulfilled my purpose. I wasn't just a king that was using power for my selfish aggrandizement. I used that position and I used that power to turn the heart of a nation back to you. Do you know the purpose for which God is promoting you? When I prophesy your promotion, you claim it. The question is, do you know the purpose for that promotion? When I declare that you prosper in all things, we all declared it well, but do you know the purpose for that prosperity? He said, I served you single-mindedly. And listen, I must admit, this is the truth, because we have to be very sincere to ourselves, that there are quite a lot of people who come to Christ, receive Jesus truthfully, and they love the Lord. But there are different reasons people love people. There are people that love the Lord for the things he gives to them, for how he intervenes, for the miracle he does. And for them, God is the deity that exists. So whenever they have a problem, they can talk to him and he does something for them. God exists for them. Their real focus is themselves, their prosperity, their money, their marriage, their children, their visions. That's their own focus. God is another thing that they use to get it. But that's not a life of purpose. God did not bring us into Christ to use him for prosperity. No. God brought us into Christ to use prosperity to serve him. We don't use God to prosper. We use prosperity to serve God. If you're getting it, shout a big amen. Amen. This man said, I served you single-mindedly, always doing what pleases you. Then he broke down and wept bitterly. While the prophet of God was on the way, God spoke to him and said, better return. This one, his life is valuable to me. He said, because my promise for him is life as long as he's satisfied. This guy is not satisfied. So he's not going yet. His life is valuable. He knows what to do with power. He knows what to do with prosperity. He knows. His life is valuable. So he said, go back and tell him, you don't have extra 15 years. I add extra 15 years. And so we asked three big questions that everybody should ponder on. Every one of us. Three big questions. Find the first question. I want you to hold your neighbor. That's the first question. Read that to your neighbor and help me ask that question. One to go. Think now. Don't disconnect. Think am. Some of you that are in your maybe late teens and early 20s, if God says 80 more years, 90 more years, give me a reason why I should add more years to you. He knew the reason. Hezekiah gave him a reason. And it wasn't just, I'm claiming my blessing. No, it's not that. I'm claiming, you said in your word, you will satisfy me. Jesus died at the age of 33, so I won't die on time. That's okay. That's grace. Thank God. Okay, have you received grace in vain? So what's the value of that grace? This long life, is it for what? If God asks a question, why should you have a life in 90s, 100s, even to 120 if you desire? Because there's a provision for 120 if you desire. Why should you have life that long? What would be your answer? Give me reasons. If you do get that question now, let's look at the second question. Hold your neighbor. So I want to know that a life well lived is measured more by donations, what you contribute, the value you put in, than what? Duration. So let's look at the second question. Hold that neighbor by your side. Call him by his or her name. Ask that question to your neighbor. One to go. If God reviewed the past 10 to 15 years of your life, will he be pleased to add more years to your life? It was Park Kenneth E. Hagin of blessed memory that told us a story of a particular man of God. This one was even a preacher. And The person was, you know, circumstances surrounding, and he was very sick. And he was very young, very sick and very young. And they called him to pray for him. They know that he's heavily anointed, and he was. And he has prayed for a whole lot of people that God healed with terminal illnesses. So by the time he wanted to pray, the Lord said, don't pray, son. He said, he's going to die. The Lord said to him, don't pray, son. He's going to die. He said, what? He said, I've been trying to get him to live right. I've been trying to get him into my purpose. I've been trying to get him to do the right things for years, and he keeps going back. And he has done so much that the principles and the judgment is that he is going to go. He said, by the way, where I have the person now, it's better I bring him home to heaven than I lose him later. So he's going to die. What it means that that guy had lived the kind of life, and you know, God is long-suffering in judgment. He takes time and he takes years. He goes after people for years. He doesn't give up. But one thing is, no matter how long-suffering God is, there is a laws of God. There is a day where the cup of a man will be full. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. And the judgment of the watchers concerning that man is that this life he has lived, even though he was a preacher. So being a preacher and being in a position in church doesn't really mean you're pleasing God. That the life he's lived was not valuable to heaven. And there is no reason to elongate that life. Can you imagine that? That was a judgment. Now, today we are privileged. We are here. And the Spirit of the Lord is speaking of what value is your salvation to God's kingdom. Of what value are you to the family I gifted to you? What are you? What's your value to your spouse? You're married. Please, when you live here as a husband, write out 12 things that you're doing for your wife that shows that you love her and you care for her and you're investing in her. 12. And if you don't have up to 12, kneel before God until God helps you to find out 12 things. 12 things. How? And I know that one of the things you're going to write first is that you're providing. And I pray you are doing, because there are some effortful men. I'm telling you, some men. You say, it was just that I fell in hard time. Hard time since five years ago, hard time. Some men, they just easily give up because they have a wife that can fight for their children. Then every month they will just send 10,000, 20,000, 35,000 in this Nigeria. Let me tell you, it's a spirit of wickedness that is worrying you, but you don't know. Because when a person is wicked to his own family, his heart is dark. You didn't hear what I said. When a man is wicked to his own family, but you go to joint and eat fish, you're always moving from one place to another. You spend money, but you don't have money to send for your family because you feel like you have a wife that can fight, that can at least somehow, or maybe the wife is coming from a family where the siblings won't just watch them. And you're living life. The worst is that you're even giving money to side chicks. If you see your accommodation in hell. No, I'm not joking. The Bible said you're worse than a non-believer. Because there are people who are not saved that won't even do that. Why should a person who claims he's saved? The Bible said if you say you're saved but hate another, that's hatred. That's wickedness towards your spouse. Now, all of you here that are wives, I want you to write down 12 things how you are valuable to your husband. What are those 12 sacrifices, 12 things that you do for that man that shows and demonstrates that you love him? How do you invest in that man? Yes. It's not, marriage is not 50-50. Marriage is 100-100. I give my best, you give your best. I give what? And you what? And at different times, when someone feels weak, the other one upholds him, holds him up. You as the woman, 12 things exactly. What are you doing? Because, and especially those of us who have given birth to, it's possible that now the man is just loving you. The man is supposed to be loving you, and you know, and now all your love is poured on your children. All the care, and that guy is starved of care. I know what I'm saying. I know what I'm saying. You may be angry. He has not. Listen, when it comes to God's love, you must be selfless. You must be selfless. Stop thinking about the speck in the other person's eyes and check the iroko in your eye. Focus on yourself first. Focus. Write 12 things. I was dealing with a couple. And this couple, oh God. And they are Christians. So I gave them an assignment. And I called the man differently, independently. I said, this is what I want you to do. Don't tell your wife. For one full year, before you say the person now is not responding, I said, decide you're going to love this woman, even when she does not deserve to be loved. Even when, I said, the side you're not going to react. We opened 1 Corinthians 13, and I showed him different translations, what loving means in terms of Christ. I said, and have no record of any wrong. I said, you're going to be hurt. Sometimes you will feel somehow. I said, but the Holy Spirit is going to help you. Just decide, I will do good to this person. I will love this person. And not just assume. Let it not be vague. Spell it out. And decide this is what you're going to do for one full year. He said, after 1 year, if she doesn't change, come and meet me. I will help people separate. I said, but you are not supposed to break it until 1 year is over. I called the woman and did the same thing. Write down different things. Do you know that there are couples that no longer pray for themselves? I didn't say pray with themselves. Pray for. There are Christian men that are busy for 3 hours interceding for the whole world. I take over. Lord, we are taking the gospel. But they don't pray 3 minutes for their wives. Christian women that no longer pray for their men. I know what I'm saying. I say, write it down. And write it down. No vague. I told the woman, write it down. I said, for 1 year. They couldn't do it for 1 month. They could not do it for 1 month. So what was the problem? I told them, I said, every time a marriage breaks, it's never really one person. 2 people are involved. If one person was right, that marriage will survive, endure. It may not be enjoyable, it will be endurable, but it will survive. Whenever a marriage totally breaks, 2 people broke it. Both of them have irokos on their eyes. You see, none of them, and I told them, don't tell the other person. Both of them couldn't do it for up to a month. Up to a month. Before a month, they've stopped talking to each other. For 1 month, meaning both of them were wrong. They couldn't walk in love. Because if one person could walk in love, that would be the open door the Holy Spirit will use to come into that home.
Did you understand what I'm saying? What's the value of your life to your children? So one day I was talking to a man and he told me, he said, Pastor, I love my children. I love my children. I said, no, you don't. I said, you don't. He said, Pastor, sincerely, I love my children. I said, no, you don't. I said, if you love your children, you will not be living a life that will heap up curses for them. Look at what you had to go through because of what your own fathers did. See the battles you had to fight. Some of us started on the negative. We had to first fight a battle before we were free to now start the journey. There are people that were born in a family for just being born in that family, for nothing. Because of what their father did, their life is already set. I said, so you want your children to go through this again? That at the age of 18, 20, 35, they will still be dealing with freeing themselves from what you did. I said, look at what you're doing now. How many people are going to be cursing you? How many people are going to be speaking? If you love your children, end this now. That one of the greatest gifts a man gives to his children is a loving family. You can't cheat on your wife if you love your children, trust me. You know what love is? A man laid down his life for his friends. So you can't lay down your life. You can't decide that this area of your life is going to be in check. For the sake that you want to heap up, of what value is this life to your children? I want to ask. Of loved life. What would be the harvest your children will live with when you are through with this life? You lady, what testimony will you use to raise your daughters? That you lived a life of purity? Or that they sent you to school and you started marriage without your family knowing? Okay, I didn't say anything. How many of you got what I said? Did you get it? If you don't get it, you must get it. Don't forget anything. The last but not the least. What's the third question? Are you what? God never holds our past against us. That's why Jesus shed the blood. The Bible says, if any of us sin, if we sue, not when we, if any of us sin, listen carefully. He said, from the law of sin and death. And even if there are already consequences that you may have, that may have happened before you knew this, maybe somebody here, you had an abortion. And it affected your womb, affected your uterus, affected your fallopian tube. And they say now you can't give birth. Even if the body be dead because of sin, the spirit gives it life because of righteousness. Instead of shame, you will have double honor. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who live not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So even if now all you people, they know you, there are 20 people, there are 200 people, there are 2,000 people that know your story. They know you. You lived a life that is a life of mess. Everywhere they know you, your story is black. People have talked about you. Your influence has been bastardized. Your name has been bastardized. You hear the Bible say, instead of shame, I'll restore to you double. He said, I'll bless you and make your name great. There is an honor that comes from God and there is honor that comes from men. So many people may think they know something about you, but God said, I'll make you a name, a praise, and a fame. I will hold you up in honor. Let me tell you, when you come to Christ, consequences are taken away. There is only one thing waiting for you in Christ, the inheritance of his blessing.
we don't have time to regret as Christians. Because there is no past to us. Our past is behind the cross. Someone paid the price for it. There is no time. No time. So this is not for me. No. That's why when you're driving, if you look at your car, when you look at your rear mirror, it's very tiny. But when you look at your front windshield, it's very large. Because you're only supposed to take a glance to pick up something so you can focus on moving forward. So there is hindsight. What is hindsight? Hindsight has to do with now getting to the place in your life where you can say, oh, I've lived foolishly. This was not wise. This is reckless. Look at the fruits of the foolishness. So you can repent. And decide, I won't continue. Because when you don't probe your history, history will repeat itself. But it's not for you to stay there. Imagine trying to drive forward, focused on the rear view mirror. But you're trying to drive forward. Every time your eyes are on your rear view mirror, the only direction that car is going is reverse. If you focus on your past, you keep moving backward. There is something you must know. There is nothing good you can ever find in your past. Even your successes in the past is a trap. You must let go of your successes so you don't live in the euphoria of what used to be when God is preparing you for what is yet to be. Don't live in the assumption of I used to have it when God is preparing you for something much more, something greater, something more glorious. Sometimes you've got to let go. There are people that for 10 years, they are still rehearsing what they achieved 10 years ago. That nothing, they are no longer making progress. They are camping on the euphoria of their past success. Past successes can be a trap. Let it go. The question is, all these lessons, all this meditation, all these things you had to write down, will you make a better choice? Am I willing now to live the rest of my life the way God proposed for me? Will I live a life of purpose? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Hold someone by your side and pray in the spirit. Do you know why God brought you here? Talk to God. Close your eyes. Don't look around. This is a destiny-defining moment. In the name of Jesus. We have to close because of time. But I want you to hold that neighbor. Find the right neighbor because this scripture will change your life forever. We're going to read from verse 15 to verse 17. And we're going to read it in different translations. Let's read. One to go. See then that you walk circumspectly. Not as what? Fools. But not as what? But as why. Mark it because you're going to see it in other translations and know what it means to live as fools and those who are wise. So let's see it. Verse 16. redeeming the time because the days are evil. Verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand the will. So, what are those who are unwise? You know those who are unwise? Those who come and tell you their plans, their vision. That's what James was telling us. He said, listen, don't open your mouth and say, tomorrow I will do this, tomorrow I will do this. He said, do you know what? Say, if the Lord wills. That means whatever should be your plan should be about the will of God. Lord, what do you want me to do? You go online, everybody has an opinion. And many opinions, depending on your oratory skills, depending on your packaging, depending on your position. The Bible even talks about the principalities of this age. People who are at the top of their career, people who have gone viral, people that they call influencers, everybody has something to say. They say something about family, they say something about your life. Those who are fools listen to all those things. The wise know that the word of God is the will of God, and the word of God is the wisdom of God. Father, what is your will concerning choosing a life partner? What is your will concerning raising a godly, blissful, prosperous family? What is your will concerning parenting my children? What is your will concerning building a business? What is your will concerning my financial prosperity? Building wealth, building generational wealth. What is your will? You gave me strength. You gave me health. I am alive in the land of the living. The enemy wanted to attack my health, but you healed my body. What is your will? You forgave me. You restored me. You brought me into Christ. Today, I am a believer. And I'm not better than those who no longer believe. There are people today who say they have gone back to their roots. And what they are saying is that they have gone back to the worship of idols, not knowing they are worshiping demon spirits. And how do you know? By the fruit of a tree, you know the tree. Let's stop arguing. Let us see the produce of the worship of idols. They want to have an idol so they can use to do fraud, so they can use to do rituals. They can do. Is that God? Did God ever receive human sacrifice? Why am I in Christ? If not for the mercy of God, I would have been somewhere else. I would have been part of those who believed one thing and be arguing there is no God. You brought me into Christ for a purpose. What is your will? How will I use this life to serve you? What is your will? Give me the NLT and then the other one, then we'll close. Be careful how you live. Tell your neighbor, stop living a careless life. Say, don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Why do we come to church? This is why we come. Didn't you see how we worshiped God? Didn't you see how we told you to focus and worship? Didn't you see what happened to your spirit and to your heart? Didn't you see after we worshiped, now we are receiving from Him? Pastor is speaking, but these are not my words. And that's why I give you a lot of scriptures. So they are not the opinions of man. You can see them for yourself. This is no story. Verse 16. Now, make the most in these evil days. Tell your neighbor, you do not have time to waste your life. Tell your neighbor, there are people that waste their lives. There are people that just spend their lives. Say, but there are people that invest their lives. Say, stop wasting time on things that are not valuable to God, are not valuable to your purpose, are not valuable to your prosperity. Don't waste your time. Say, because time is life as is given to you on earth. Say, wasting time is committing suicide. What is life on earth? Time. Time. Don't, when you waste time, you're not just wasting time. You're wasting life. I used to talk about, I said there are people that you think when you have them under this kind of meetings and services, you think they are tired. Now lie, they are not tired. End it, you see that they are not tired. The only thing that gets them tired is something that will add value to their lives. If they pick a book, they get tired. If they pick movies, they are excited. Oh, emere, emere. You think they are tired? Close this service now and let them be talking with their, they will talk with their friends from now till evening. Energy, laugh, snap pictures. Anything that has to improve their life, develop their life, move them forward, they are tired. Anything that wastes their lives, they are excited. Where are you? Who are you? What excites you shows what you value the most. Oh, I love to see movies. Oh, I love to hang out. But listen, I will never treasure them more than. No way. You put a movie, I start watching, I start sleeping. You give me a message, I'll stay on it for 11 hours. Because something has recalibrated my life, and my time has to be used for value, something valuable. Somebody say, I'm living a significant life. And verse 17. Don't act thoughtless, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. You know the last translation, I really want to use that. Leave Philip's New Testament translation. Live life then with a due sense of responsibility. Not as men who do not know the meaning and the purpose of life, but as those who do. Lift your hands. Say, Father, teach me the meaning of life. Reveal to me clearly in your word, through the ministry of your spirit in my heart, through the ministry of my pastor and teachers, what your purpose is for me. Help me by your spirit to discern purpose and time, to know the right timing for every phase and stage of my purpose. Father, from this day, there will be no wastage of my time, no wastage of opportunities, no wastage of my life. I live a life of purpose, of power, and of prosperity. A life well lived. If you receive the answers, shout your loudest amen.